you. Chapter 18. Matthew 18, verse 21 is where I'll begin. Then came Peter to him, that's Jesus, and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had began to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.' Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me that thou owest.' And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.' And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, 'O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?' And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespass." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that our forgiveness is through your blessed Son. And God, we praise your name for that. We thank you for how you so freely gave, and how that Christ himself laid down his life for our sins that we might be forgiven. And dear God, I pray that you'd help me by your Spirit to preach and teach this lesson which you have laid on my heart tonight. And dear God, I pray that you'd be with those in the nursery tonight and bless and those watching the children. Father, fill with thy Spirit. God, bless our gathering tonight. Thank you for such a blessed gathering this morning as the word went out, and the children's Sunday school hour, the adult Sunday school hour, the morning service, the visitors who came, and the singing of praise, God, all the ministries, the offering for your glory. Dear God, I thank you that we could worship you together in such a state. And so, Father, bless us tonight. Draw us closer unto thee, we pray. Make us more like your blessed Son. And help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. And we do ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Christmas time is a time of giving, and people should like giving and receiving gifts. And tonight I'm going to talk about probably one of the greatest gifts that we can give as a Christian. It's a gift that sometimes we're hesitant to give.
but we're always eager to receive it. And it's a precious gift. And what I'm going to talk about tonight here in this passage is the gift of forgiving. The gift of forgiving. And we as Christians need to be a forgiving people. If anybody ought to be a forgiving people, we ought to be. Amen. And title of the message tonight, Matthew 18, is the world's worst prison. The world's worst prison is an unforgiving spirit. The world's worst prison is an unforgiving spirit. And so first of all, we'll be looking at this passage here. First of all, we see Christian forgiveness proceeds from divine love. Christian forgiveness proceeds from divine love. Jesus says that this servant has now begged his Lord for mercy. And in Matthew 18:27, then the Lord of that servant, what? Was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him all that debt. You see, in order to forgive, it must come from a motive of love, compassion, and mercy. That's the only thing that will move us to forgive one that has wronged us. What a picture of God's mercy we see here to offer us forgiveness through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. We look at the two servants who owed their Lord's money. One owed his master 10,000 talents, and his master forgave him. And the other owned the one who'd been forgiven. He owed him 100 pence, and he wouldn't forgive him. See, what's the comparison there? Well, the 10,000 talents is a little over $16 million, so to speak. It was obvious that this was quite a position that this Lord had over perhaps principalities and things like that. And what was the 100 pence? About $15. And that's perhaps what we learned from that is the comparison of what is our debt to God. When we sin against God, it's a great sin. It is a great sin. When we sin against the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. But you know what? When someone sins against me, I'm a sinner. It's not that big a deal. I've sinned against plenty of people also. And so it's perhaps a lesson to learn in that comparison as well. When I get sinned against, when I get offended, it's really not as a big deal in the whole scheme of things as it is when we sin against God. That's a lesson learned right off the bat from that. But this 10,000 talents that he was forgiven, that was the price perhaps of one slave, was that one talent was the price of a slave. It would also be the total annual tax bill for Palestine was 1,800 talents, or I'm sorry, 800 talents at that time. There was no way this servant could pay this bill, is what it's trying to say. It was impossible. He could not pay that bill. By the way, what a picture of God's mercy, amen, and our forgiveness. In Romans 5, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a wonderful Lord, what a wonderful God. You see, forgiveness must be given. Forgiveness can't be earned. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. How can we repay that price? Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified how? Freely given. Being justified freely. By his grace, by his mercy, and justified freely by the grace, by the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, goes on to say, they're not by works. We think about how God offers this gift of forgiveness to us so freely. I love how the Bible closes after God gives us all those details about those terrifying end times. And by the way, we won't be there during those times. We'll be raptured, and we'll be in heaven. God has not appointed us to wrath. 1 Thessalonians 5:9.
Revelation 21, 6, he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of the water of life. How? Freely. Freely. I will give that forgiveness freely. Revelation 22, 17, and the Spirit and the bride say what? Come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take what? Of the water of life freely. How much more ought you and I to be freely given out forgiveness to those who would offend us, and having that Christian forgiveness. It seems in the text here, perhaps, that this man did not grasp the fact, he didn't grasp the fact that he was forgiven by love. He seems to just have taken it for granted. Perhaps this man who owed 10,000 talents thought he outsmarted his Lord, you know. Boy, I sure did a good job begging and falling down before him, you know. He just forgave me 10,000 talents, you know. I sure pulled the wool over his eye. I don't know what he was thinking. Maybe he figured out he just said what he wanted to hear just right. But it seems he didn't quite grasp the good deed that had been done to him. Because he took his Lord's love for granted. And what did he do? And he didn't practice it in his own dealings, did he? He didn't practice it in his own dealings. In Matthew 18:28, that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Wow. It just didn't hit home with him what had just happened to him. And you know, if we fail to appreciate the love of Christ in our forgiveness, we're certainly going to fail to apply that forgiveness to others when that time comes around. In Matthew 18:35, the script Jesus says, so likewise, right here he says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. We are to forgive how? From our hearts. From our hearts freely. So Christian forgiveness proceeds, first of all, from divine love. Christian forgiveness, which is a great gift we can give at Christmas time and all year long, it proceeds secondly from it produces divine liberty. It proceeds from divine love. Secondly, it produces divine liberty. Look at verse 27. The Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and what? Loosed him. And loosed him. He loosed him. He forgave the debt. This Lord could have made him accountable to pay that debt for the rest of his life. Probably him and his family and whoever else was coming behind him. Could you imagine that burden? To realize that for the rest of your life, you'll be working to pay somebody else. Wow. He loosed him. He loosed him that debt. By the way, we just sang the song, I can't repay. He paid a debt he didn't know. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And it was loosed of that debt. That Lord, he lifted that burden from his shoulders. He loosed those shackles from his feet. He let him go free. It produced that divine liberty for the one who needed that forgiveness. You see, prison is prison because of what is withheld from the prisoner, not necessarily because of what is within the prison. Forgiveness frees the forgiven. I know, maybe not true in some of our prisons, but in Japanese prisons, Joe was telling us about, you know, no TV, no radio, no soft bed, no carpet, no easy chair, no telephone. Loved ones can't, you know, come see you all the time. Not climate controlled very well. Prison is really prison in a great way because a lot of times because of what is not there. And this fellow servant, he didn't get that. He didn't get the grace that had been given him. He goes to this man that only owes him 100 pence. Matthew 18:29. Fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And he would not. But went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. You see, an unforgiving spirit attempts to imprison the offender by withholding things from him.
I know I used to play that game. I used to be the passive aggressive type, you know. And I think I've gotten better at not being that way. I hope that that's true. I hope that I'm growing in the Lord. But when I would get in that point where I didn't want to give away the gift of forgiveness, not that my wife has ever done me wrong. okay, maybe once or twice. But listen, I married a sinner and she married one too. Amen. By the way, so did you if you're married. Okay. But my game used to be, you know, well, I'll just be quiet. I'll withhold the kind word that I might usually say. I withhold the kind deed that I might otherwise usually do. You see how we that game we play? Or maybe you're the personality, well, I'll just say the word that I thought about saying before and didn't say, you know. Or I'll do that thing that'll harm them that I thought about doing and didn't do before. Whatever way it is, some way we don't give that forgiveness out as freely and as quickly as we should and as we need to. By the way, in our relationships, we got to get this down, brethren, because we need forgiveness, every one of us, and we need to be able to withdraw from that bank of forgiveness, don't we? So we need to be giving it out, and what a blessed gift we can give is that forgiveness. A courteous, low, warm handshake, kind words, good deeds, a helping hand, not withholding those, but forgiving. And giving those out. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. By the way, if somebody does me wrong or you wrong, what's happened? They've done wrong. That's being overtaken in a fault. Then it says, ye which are what? Spiritual. Restore such an one. What's the first thing we can do to help them? Forgive them. Amen. Forgive them. And God calls us to do that. Peter said, how many times? Till seven times? No, till what? 70 times seven. Till you've done it so much, you don't even think about it now. It's become habit. You just become a forgiver. And by the way, that instant in prayer, when that thought comes that I'm just going to hold on to this for a while, get down on your knees. Give it to God. God, I'm rebellious. You know what I'm thinking, God. Help me out. Change my mindset. Help me, God. Deliver me. And get help from God to give away that forgiveness the way that He wants us to. Forgiveness frees the forgiven. This one had those shackles loose, so to speak. But you know what? Forgiveness also frees the forgiver. Forgiveness also frees the forgiver. Alcatraz on Devil's Island. It's 29 years as a maximum security prison. From 1934 to 1963, no one has ever escaped alive, or at least known. and you're entitled to food, clothing, shelter, and medical attention. Anything else you get is a privilege. You earn your privileges by conducting yourself properly, having a good standing. It's a term applied to inmates who have a good conduct record and a good work record and who are not undergoing disciplinary restrictions. Alcatraz House is a security federal prison from 1934 until 1963. Before that time, the Rock was a military prison housing soldiers from 1859 to 1933. The cell house was never filled to capacity. The average number of prisoners was 260. The maximum was 302. There were 336 remodeled cells available. But you know what the sad story is? The cell house of Alcatraz may never have been filled on Devil's Island, but sadly, I'm afraid that the devil's prison house of an unforgiving spirit is too often filled to capacity with believers who won't give out that gift of forgiveness to someone who has wronged them, when we have been given what? Forgiveness from the one whom we owed 10,000 talents. And whoever has wronged us can at best be said to be 100 pence. And God tells us, let's be quick to give away that forgiveness. Let's be quick to forgive one another. You see, because you can imprison the body and the spirit still be free. But when your spirit's in prison,
When you're imprisoned by that unforgiving spirit, that's worse than a bodily imprisonment. The Apostle Paul was imprisoned bodily, 2 Timothy 2:9. He says, I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Paul said, but I'm free, still, I'm still ministering the word. They have me locked up. Nero's going to take my head. Paul said, but in Christ I'm free. I'm still ministering the word. God's word is still going forth. And he would say in 2 Timothy 4:7, what? I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there's a crown laid up for me. And so it can imprison that spirit that is yielded to God. And praise God, we can have that same hope. The world's worst prison is an unforgiving spirit. You see, let's think about this. That servant there, he was 10,000 talents richer. Can you imagine that? I mean, he owed his Lord over $16 million. He owed him that. And his Lord said, but he begged him, oh, forgive me, I'll pay you all. And what he said? You're forgiven. $16 million, folks. I don't know about you. I might went out and got some cake and ice cream and probably a few baggies. I'd throw me a party. How about you? And that's like having the bank cancel your mortgage. Forget it. Just keep the house. How'd you like that? Lindsay, how'd you? That'd be great, wouldn't it? Just keep it. Wow. But you know what? He couldn't appreciate it. Because he was still in the prison of an unforgiving spirit. Look at verse 28. But the same servant, $16 million richer, went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Wow. That's just amazing to think about. You see, God uses trials and blessings in our lives for good. An unforgiving spirit is a trial, amen? And a forgiving spirit is a blessing. And God wants to bring that blessing out. You see, we have been freed from our debt. We have received and experienced His love. Why? That we might demonstrate His love and demonstrate His forgiveness. Christian forgiveness proceeds from divine love, produces divine liberty. Thirdly, it procures divine loss. It procures divine loss. Look at verse 27. Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Forgave him the debt. Wait a minute. There's $16 million at stake here. Someone's got to eat it. Someone's got to swallow it. Who did? The Lord, didn't he? The Master did, didn't he? He took that debt upon himself. He took the loss. You see, God gave his own son, didn't he? To forgive us. For God so loved the world, what? That he gave his only begotten son. They had been in perfect fellowship in the Trinity of the Godhead for all eternity. And now, for the sake of your forgiveness and mine, his dearly beloved was going to depart and suffer like no other man had ever suffered before. Someone's got to pay the cost. You see, there is a divine, it procures divine loss. There's a cost. Forgiveness always has a price. It's always free to the forgiven at the expense of the forgiver. It's always free to the forgiven at the expense of the forgiver. True forgiveness. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but what? But with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. You see, when we forgive, we need to be ready. When we want to forgive freely in this love of Christ, we must what? Be ready to absorb the loss. What might the loss be in our case? Maybe it's the money that you lent your brother or sister in Christ and they failed to pay you back.
People have come to me at times asking me about lending money. My advice is always this: don't ever lend money unless you can afford to be without it. The Bible says what? Lend hoping for what? Nothing again. And so be ready to give. If you're going to lend, give that up. And by the way, when it doesn't come back, be ready to what? Be ready to take that hit. Amen. Be ready to forgive that brother or that sister if you're going to do that. It may be the money you lent brother or sister in Christ never paid you back. Maybe the opportunity or blessing you missed because a fellow Christian didn't keep a promise or something. Brother or sister didn't keep their word, or maybe they said an unkind word, a feeling of betrayal, knowing a fellow believer has talked about you behind your back. Whatever it might be ready to take the loss. Someone has to. Someone has to. There's always a payment. The forgiveness must be given freely. Someone has got to take the cost. But you see, brethren, loss becomes divine gain when you submit it to God, when you take that for God's kingdom. You see, when a brother offends you or I, and we go to them, we do the things that God tells us to do. But when we forgive them, God knows the hurt. God knows the loss that we absorb, doesn't he? You think God will not reward that? When he'll reward, even if you give a glass of water, you think he'll not reward that? Certainly, certainly he will. Give your loss to God and ask him to bless it. Give your loss to God and ask him to bless it. I always think about the troops that went out and they paid, Judah's going out to war, and they paid so many men of Israel to go with him, and God said, I don't need them. And they said, but we paid him, I forget how much. And God said, I can give you a lot more than that, don't worry about it. And God can take care of it, folks. God can take care of it. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Folks, this is especially important in relationships. How we need to be forgiving. One to another. giving these things up, giving all for Christ. Mark 8:35, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall find it. 1 Corinthians 6:7, they're suing each other, taking each other to court, Christians. Now therefore there's utterly a fault among you because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather what? Take wrong. Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that's your brethren. And went on to say, and that before the unbelievers you're going to court. When you're Christians, and how we ought to take wrong for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of God's name. How much in Luke 6:27. Jesus says, I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them who curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you. By the way, if God says that about your enemy, how much more your brethren? How much more a fellow Christian, though they may have wronged us? What else do we see? Christian forgiveness, fourthly, portrays divine light. Christian forgiveness portrays divine light. Look at verse 31. So when his fellow servants, what? Saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. No doubt these fellow servants knew. This guy, he's just been forgiven 10,000 talents. And now he's got a friend that owes him $15, and he nearly killed him, taking him by the throat, shaking him down for the $15, threw him in prison. He's going to sell his family for $15. They were grieved at what they saw. That ain't right. That's ungodly. You see? Christian forgiveness portrays divine light. See, we can forgive. Why? Because we've been forgiven. Who's been forgiven more than you and I, brethren? Nobody.
And so we ought to be a forgiving people. Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, what? Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake, what? Hath forgiven you. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you and me. To err is human, to forgive, divine. Anybody ever hear that? To err is human, to forgive, divine. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And what is one of the greatest ways that we can show love? But the same way that our Lord did, by forgiving those who were unworthy of the forgiveness. Amen. We need to do that. And we, by the way, we need God's grace to do that, don't we? We look at these things. They're always too big for us, aren't they? These things that we preach from the Word of God, they're always too big for us. But they're not too big for our God, amen? They're not too big for Him to make the difference. And then finally, this Christian forgiveness prompts divine litigation. It prompts divine litigation. Look in verse 32. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was done unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. You see that? I don't know about you, but there's probably going to become a time when I'm going to need to be forgiven by somebody. I have no doubt about that. There's already been plenty in the past, and I'm sure there's going to be some more. I'm going to say something I shouldn't say. I'm going to not say something I should have said. I'm going to do something I should have done. Do something I should not have done. I'm going to not do something that I should have done. I'm going to offend somebody, and I'm going to need forgiveness. And you know what? I'd like to have something to draw from that bank. Because my God said, as often as you do it, I'm going to watch. I'm going to, you know, what goes around and comes around in Galatians, you know, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. God says, you be a forgiver, and I'll make sure that the ones you offend are forgivers. You see that? That's what he's saying there. And I want to be forgiven when that time comes and when I need that by another. We're not talking about God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness is sealed for us in Christ in eternity. Judge not and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive and ye shall be forgiven. Luke 6:37. In our relationships. And how we need that. I remember, closing this illustration, I remember one day we were living in St. Petersburg. We had our painting business at that time, I think, and we had this big old Cadillac Calais, big old boat. Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't fit in our garage. Our garage is 20 feet. I don't think it would fit, you know, in our garage. It's four-door. And come up to this intersection. It was a red yield intersection. And so a lot of people don't stop at a yield. It's a red yield. You're supposed to stop and then go. But it was a red yield. So I come up behind there, and there was a pampered poodle truck come behind. It was a mobile grooming unit for poodles. Come up behind me, just clobbered me from behind in that Cadillac. And it had a trailer hitch on the back of it. And stalled the car when she hit me, knocked me out into the intersection, and I got the car started and got off for a little bit. But her van looked like she hit a telephone pole. I don't know what happened. It messed up the front of that van. And she came out, she was just crying and a ball. I mean, she was just in tears and I'm sorry. You know, and I said, I got a bent trailer hitch. I said, yeah, you have enough problems, and you don't worry about me. You know, we'll take care of you. You know, you have enough problems. And so left it at that and just kind of forgave her just in that way.
And it wasn't too long after that that I was in heavy traffic somewhere in that same car, and it was bumper to bumper traffic, and I'm driving along and I'm trying to get somewhere. You know how that goes bumper to bumper. You're looking at everybody in the back, they're coming out around. You know how that works, and you're trying to look for your chance to get out there and get around. Well, I was doing that because you're looking ahead, looking back, and because everybody's coming around behind you. Well, I had a elderly lady in front of me, and I was a younger man then, and had an elderly lady in front of me, and I'm looking and it's just bumper to bumper. It's not fast. We're just moving along. But it happened to stop. She happened to stop when I happened to have my head back like this, looking for, and I went a little bit too far and bumped her trunk. Well, that Cadillac had the trim that came out on the hood, and it came to a point like that. And it was real chrome on that point on that Cadillac. And what it did was, it was a 66 Cadillac. And it poked a hole in her trunk. Didn't bend the trim. And you know what? She told me not to worry about it. I mean, it wasn't a new car or anything, but she told me not to worry about it. And we talked about it, and I thanked her. You know, and we didn't have a lot of money. You know what happened? I forgave. God allowed me to be forgiven. See that? I want to be able to draw from that bank. I want to be forgiving. By the way, I want to be forgiving most of all because it pleases Jesus. And because that's what he would want me to do. That's what he would want you to do. As to show that forgiveness that the world, by the way, can't understand. You know, they don't understand that. And yet we can do that. Because why? Because we've been forgiven. And then, hey, the times that we forgive, that may be one of the grandest opportunities, what? To tell somebody about Jesus if they're not saved. Or to encourage a brother to more Christ-likeness when they consider, wow, I mean, that was like Christ, that they forgave me in that. You know, and that may encourage them in their growth as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the gift of forgiveness. I can't think, dear God, of a greater gift of your love than the forgiveness that you gave us in Jesus Christ. And dear God, I pray, there are so many that are bound in that prison of an unforgiving spirit. May we learn to freely and quickly forgive, not hold others under the yoke of bondage of our unforgiveness. Father, might we freely forgive them. And Lord, might you give us the grace to take the loss, to submit that to you, and to allow you to bless it for your glory and for your kingdom. And dear God, we in so doing will glorify your name and we'll be more like you. And so, Father, we submit that to you and we ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen.